Today's readings bring us to the events of Holy Week. Hear the story of judgments as told by Matthew through the Voice translation. Jesus was standing before the governor, Pilate, who asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "So you say." The chief priests and elders stood and poured out their accusations. That Jesus was a traitor, a seditious rebel, a crazy, a would-be savior, a would-be king. Jesus stood in the stream of accusations, but he did not respond. Pilate said to him, "Do you hear these accusations they are making against you?" Still, Jesus said nothing, which Pilate found rather astounding. No protests, no defense, nothing. Now the governor had a custom. During the great Jewish festival of Passover, he would allow the crowd to pick one of the condemned men, and he, Pilate, would set the man free, just like that. Gratuitous, gracious freedom. At this time, they had a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. So when the crowd gathered, Pilate offered them a choice. "Whom do you want me to free, Barabbas or Jesus, whom some call the Anointed One?" Soon it becomes clear Pilate had laid his own trap. He realizes he has given the crowd a choice, but the crowd doesn't choose as he expects them to. They choose Barabbas. Pilate saw that unless he wanted a riot on his hands, he now had to bow to their wishes. So he took a pitcher of water, stood before the crowd, and washed his hands. "You will see to the crucifixion, for this man's blood will be upon you and not upon me. I wash myself of it."
Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fifty years ago, on a March morning, 24-year-old warrant officer Hugh Thompson, straight out of flight school, sat in his vinyl cushioned pilot's seat. He was using all of his training to do what he was supposed to do, fly his Hiller OH-23 Raven chopper. And then, circling above the Vietnamese hamlet of My Lai, he witnessed something that his training could not have possibly prepared him for. He witnessed there on the ground a massacre unfolding in the rice paddies, the ditches, and the roads of that town. He watched as 504 Vietnamese citizens were slaughtered, mostly the very old and the very young, all of them unarmed, slaughtered before the forces of the United States. Witnessing those events, watching them unfold, sitting in his chair as he flew his helicopter, Warrant Officer Hugh Thompson first was confused and had no idea what was unfolding. And then when he finally figured it out, he faced a moment of monumental import, a decision he had never been trained to have to deal with. As he watched the unspeakable happen, his comrades in arms, his brothers betraying their training and the code of ethics, he knew that some choice had to be made, for even doing nothing and simply watching was a choice in and of itself. And so, with innocent lives hanging in the balance, washing his hands and turning away was not possible for Hugh. And so, despite the risks, despite the odds, he knew he had to act, and he did. He ordered Larry Colburn, his 18-year-old gunner, to man his machine gun. and he lowered his chopper between the civilians being slaughtered and the U.S. forces on the other side. And then he told his gunner to take his gun and aim them at the U.S. forces. He never had to fire. But it was a courageous act of faith for the sake of life. Three men in one chopper against an entire company. But because of that courageous act, many innocent lives were saved, even though it would come at great personal cost to warrant Officer Hugh Thompson. That choice stands in stark contrast to a different choice made nearly 2,000 years before that, a choice made from an entirely different seat, the one the Bible calls the judgment seat. The judgment seat was a throne-like seat made of chiseled stone covered in soft furs. And there, 26-year-old Pontius Pilate, acting in his very first governorship, pulled by Emperor Tiberius from the ranks of the military equestrians, sat in his chair, witnessing events unfold before him. Before him, he saw an angry crowd, and he witnessed a silent accused. He heard shouts of death and crucifixion ringing the air, and from the accused, silence. He, like Warrant Officer Thompson, was trained to sit in that chair, yet what he was witnessing was nothing he had ever prepared for. And Pilate, young, new to the job, Pilate was put in a tough spot. He had a new bride. Her name was Procula. She was a woman from a wealthy family, and so if he could get through this event, he had a promising, rich life in front of him. His career was skyrocketing, and truth be told, the odds were against him. He did not have enough troops in Jerusalem should rebellion break forth. And there, Pilate, like Thompson, faced a decision of life and death at great personal risk. Oh, Pilate had been in scrapes with the Jewish people before this moment. Constantly, there were issues of empire versus faith. In fact, it was one of the reasons that on this day, as Passover approached, Pilate had this practice of always riding at the head of a great military procession, riding on a gleaming war steed, coming through the emperor's gate on the west side of Jerusalem, just to make sure the people knew who was in power and who was in charge. Matthew, like Luke, presents Pilate as seeing something in this silent accused Jesus. It hints at Pilate recognizing that there was something beyond the norm in this man who stood before him. They portray Pilate as sympathetic to Jesus. But make no mistake about it, that only makes what he chooses to do all the more cowardly, all the more inexcusable. The mighty Roman governor, knowing that to do the right thing and spare Jesus' life would cost him, he instead looked for someone else to blame, for someone to put between himself and the tough choice that was his and his alone to make. Pilate made a choice. He washed his hand and claimed he had no responsibility for what was unfolding there. And yet, no matter how loudly or how confidently he said it, and no matter how ornate or powerful the chair he sat in, Pilate was dead wrong. For he had the power to do something about it and did not. He had the power to make the difference between life and death, and instead he turned away. He was sitting in the chair of power, a place that he had trained for, a place that he had trained to sit and witness. And yet in that moment, he made the choice to avoid, to slink away, to remain a witness to the brokenness of the world rather than bearing witness to Jesus, the bringer of life and truth. Friends, you know that I believe that worship is central to our life together. It is one of the reasons that I am delighted and urge you each and every week to come and sit in these chairs. as wholly uncomfortable as they are. For see, you do not spend your life out there training to sit in these chairs in this sanctuary. Rather, we sit in these chairs in this sanctuary to prepare and train our bodies, our hearts, and our lives to go out there and to be bearers of life and love, no matter the risk or cost out there in the world. The prophets were unabashed about it. For what does the Lord require of us but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? Let's say that together. What does the Lord require of us? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. You're familiar with Psalm 23, right? That says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our lives, that we recognize that God sends goodness and mercy to follow us. You might not be as familiar with Psalm 34 that turns it around and says, as a result, we are to pursue peace. We are to chase it down. We are to stalk it. We are to keep going after peace until we find it in our grasp. To be a Christian is to be a witness, not a spectator, not one who watches, but rather to bear witness to the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. In our opening today, you heard the stirring, confident words of Isaiah. To a people who were struggling to figure out which end was up, God said, "Go out there, for I have equipped you to speak. I have given you the words that you need. No matter how inarticulate, how shy, how young, how old you are the ones who need to go out there and speak." It means that when we see trouble unfolding, that we are to put ourselves in a position of helping, even if it is at risk. That is what he means by take up your cross. Not that we should pursue death. Instead, that we should pursue life no matter where it takes us. Yesterday, people from this church and people from all across the world went out to bear witness to peace and to fight against violence in New York, in Washington, and all across the world. That is part of bearing witness. And sometimes we think that going to these marches is what changes the world, and I hope and pray that it does. But here's what I will tell you. If you talk to one of those 24 people who marched yesterday, they will tell you how that event changed them. Some of the youth are still in bed this morning because they're exhausted after yesterday, so you might have to find them on another day. But in all seriousness, find someone. If you went on a march yesterday, would you raise your hand? Find these people and talk to them, not just about what they did to bear witness to Christ, but how what they saw changes how they see Christ. For you see, when we go out into the world, we see Christ in whole new ways. We see Christ in the midst of the needy, the weak, and the vulnerable. Events like yesterday are a starting point to changing the whole world, just like the events of Palm Sunday so long ago. You need to know this. Hugh Thompson faced a great deal after his actions. Coming back to the United States when he testified against those who were leading the massacre, he was shunned and outcast. In fact, a song supporting those who had led the massacre rose to the top 20 on the Billboard charts. Hugh Thompson, through the pain and suffering he faced, ended up not being able to hold his marriage together and lost the love of his life. He developed severe PTSD, deep depression, and eventually, out of both of those things, alcoholism. It would not be until 30 years later Not until 30 years later that he was finally awarded the Medal of Honor for what he had done, rather than being blamed for what he had done. The story of Hugh Thompson is now taught in every service academy and in every military training outfit because it is a message of moral fortitude. We need to teach the lesson of Pontius Pilate as vigorously in the church, that no matter who we are, no matter in what chair we sit, when we see pain and suffering, we must make a choice. Doing nothing is a choice, but the choice Christ asks us is to pursue justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God, no matter where it takes us. May that be our calling this Palm Sunday, and every day we draw breath. Amen.